The following is a reading from some of the prayers of Charles Spurgeon and some prayers from the Puritans. The washing of water by the word. O Jehovah, our God, thou lovest thy people. Thou hast placed all the saints in the hands of Jesus. And thou hast given Jesus to be to them a leader, a commander, and a husband. And we know that you delight to hear us cry on the behalf of your church, for you care for him, and you are ready to grant to him according to the covenant provisions which you have laid up in store for Jesus Christ. Therefore, would we begin this prayer by entreating you to behold and visit the vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Look upon those whom you have chosen from before the foundation of the world, whom Christ has redeemed with blood, whose hearts he has won and holds, and who are his own, though they be in the world. Holy Father, keep your people, we beseech you, for Jesus' sake. Though they are in the world, let them not be of it, but may there be a marked distinction between them and the rest of mankind. Even as our Lord was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, so may it be with believers in Christ. May they follow him, and may they not know the voice of strangers, but come out from the rest, that they may follow him without the camp. We cry to you for the preservation of your church in the world, and especially for her purity. Father, keep us, we beseech you, with all keeping, that the evil one touch us not. We shall be tempted, but let him not prevail against us. In a thousand ways he will lay snares for our feet, but O, deliver us as a bird from the snare of the fowler. May the snare be broken that we may escape. Let not your church suffer dishonor at any time, but may her garments be always white. Let not such as come in among her that are not of her utterly despoil her. O Christ, as you did groan concerning Judas, so may your children cry to you concerning any that have fallen aside in the crooked ways, lest the cause of Christ in the earth should be dishonored. O God, cover, we beseech you, with your feathers all the people of Christ, and keep your church even until he shall come, who, having loved his own that were in the world, loved them even unto the end. You had asked just now that we may be washed as to our feet. We trust you have bathed us once for all in a sin-removing fountain. You have also washed us in the waters of regeneration and given us a renewing of our minds through Jesus Christ. But oh, for daily cleansing. Do you see any fault in us? Ah, we know that you do. Wash us that we may be clean. Are we deficient in any virtue? Supply it that we may exhibit a perfect character to the glory of him who has made us anew in Christ Jesus. Or is there something that would be good if not carried to excess? Be pleased to modify it, lest one virtue should slaughter another, and we should not be the image of Christ completely. O Lord and Master, you who did wash your disciples' feet of old, still be very patient toward us, very condescending towards our provoking faults. And go on with us, we pray, till your great work shall be completed, and we shall be brethren of the firstborn like unto him. Gracious Master, we wish to conquer self in every respect. We desire to live for the glory of God and the good of our fellow men. We would have it true of us as of our Master. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Will you enable us especially to overcome the body with all its affections and lusts? May the flesh be kept under. Let no appetite of any kind of the grosser sort prevail against our manhood, lest we be dishonored and unclean. and let not even the most refined power of the natural mind be permitted to come so forward as to mar the dominion of the Spirit of God within us. Oh, help us not to be so easily moved, even by pain. May we have much patience, and let not the prospect of death ever cause us any fear, but may the Spirit get so much the mastery of the body, that we may know nothing can hurt the true man. The inner newborn cannot be smitten, nor is it to die. It is holy, incorruptible, and lives and abides forever in the life that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, for a complete conquest of self, especially render us insensible to praise, lest we be too sensitive to censure. Let us reckon that to have the approbation of God and of our own conscience is quite enough. And may we be content, gracious God, to bear the caviling of unreasonable men, yea, and to bear the misrepresentations of our own brethren. Those that we love, if they love not us, yet may we love them nonetheless. And if by mistake they misjudge us, let us have no hard feelings towards them. And grant we may never misjudge one another. Does not our judge stand at the bar? Oh, keep us like little children who do not know, but expect to know hereafter, and are content to believe things which they do not understand. Lord, keep us humble, dependent, yet serenely joyful. May we be calm and quiet even as a weaned child, yet may we be earnest and active. O Savior, make us like yourself. We wish not so much to do as to be. If you will make us to be right, we shall do right. We find how often we have to put a constraint upon ourselves to be right. But oh, that we were like you, Jesus, so that we had but to act out ourselves, to act out perfect holiness. We shall never rest until this is the case, until you have made us ourselves to be inwardly holy, and then words and actions must be holy as a matter of course. Now here we are, Lord, and we belong to you. Oh, it is because we are your own that we have hope. You will make us worthy of you. Your possession of us is our hope of perfection. You wash our feet because we are your own. Oh, how sweet is the mercy which first took us to its heart and made us all its own, and now continues to deal tenderly with us, that being Christ's own, we may have that of Christ within us, which all may see proves us to be Christ's own. Now we would bring before you all your saints and ask you to attend to their trials and troubles. Some we know are afflicted in person, others are afflicted in their dear friends. Some are afflicted in their temporal estate and are brought into sore distress. Lord, we do not know the trials of all your people, but you do, for you are the head, and the pains of all the members are centered in you. Help all your people even to the end. Now we pray you to grant us a blessing which we have already sought, and let it come upon all the churches of our beloved country. May the Lord revive true and undefiled religion here, and in all the other lands where Christ is known and preached. And let the day come when heathendom shall be converted, when the crescent of Muhammad shall wane into eternal night, and when she that sits on the seven hills and exalts herself in the place of God shall be cast down to sink like a millstone in the flood. Let the blessed gospel of the eternal God prevail. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Oh, that we may live to see that day. The Lord bless our country, have pity upon it. God bless the sovereign with every mercy and blessing. Grant that there may be in thine infinite wisdom a change in the state of trade and commerce, that there may be less complaint and distress. Let the people see your hand and understand why it is laid upon them, that they may turn from wrongdoing and seek righteousness and follow after peace. Then shall the blessing return. The Lord hear us, as in secret we often cry to you on behalf of this misled land. The Lord deliver it and lift up the light of your countenance upon it yet again. For the sake of Jesus, amen. From Philip Doddridge's Rise and Progress of Religion in the Soul, the meditation of a convinced sinner giving up his vain pleas before God. Deplorable condition, then, to which I am indeed reduced, I have sinned. And what shall I say unto you, O thou preserver of men? What shall I dare to say? Fool that I was to amuse myself with such trifling excuses as these, and to imagine they could have any weight in your tremendous presence, or that I should be able so much as to mention them there. I cannot presume to do it. I am silent and confounded. My hopes, alas, are slain, and my soul itself is ready to die also, so far as an immortal soul can die. And I am almost ready to say, oh, that it could die entirely. I am indeed a criminal in the hands of justice, quite disarmed and stripped of the weapons in which I trusted. Dissimulation can only add provocation to provocation. I will therefore plainly and freely own it. I have acted as if I thought God was altogether such an one as myself. But he has said, I will reprove you. I will set your sins in order before your eyes. Psalm 50, verse 21. Will marshal them in battle array. And oh, what a terrible kind of host do they appear. And how do they surround me beyond any possibility of an escape? Oh, my soul, they have, as it were, taken you prisoner, and they are bearing you away to the divine tribunal. You must appear before it. You must see the awful, the eternal judge who tries the very reins, and who needs no other evidence, for he has himself been witness to all your rebellion. You must see him, O soul, sitting in judgment upon you. And when he is strict to mark iniquity, how will you answer him for one of a thousand? And if you cannot answer him, in what language will he speak to you? Lord, if things at present stand, I can expect no other language than that of condemnation. And what a condemnation is it? Let me reflect upon it. Let me read my sentence before I hear it finally and irreversibly passed. I know he has recorded it in his word, and I know in the general that the representation is made with gracious design. I know that he would have us alarmed that we may not be destroyed. Speak to me, therefore, O God. Will you speak not for the last time, and in circumstances when you will hear me no more? Speak in the language of effectual terror, so it be not to speak to me in final despair. And let your word, however painful in its operation, be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me not vainly flatter myself. Let me not be left a wretched prey to those who would prophesy smooth things to me, until I am sealed up under wrath, and feel your justice piercing my soul and the poison of your arrows, drinking up all my spirits. Before I enter upon a particular view, I know in the general that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. O thou living God, in one sense I am already fallen into your hands. I am become obnoxious to your displeasure, justly obnoxious to it, and whatever your sentence may be, when it comes forth from your presence, I must condemn myself and justify you. You cannot treat me with more severity than mine iniquities have deserved. And how bitter soever that cup of trembling may be, which you shall appoint for me, I give judgment against myself that I deserve to wring out the very dregs of it. Psalm 75:8. The following prayer is from John Haberman, who died in the year 1590. It is called the Prayer of a Servant. Merciful God, who through your precious suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, you have redeemed and made me free from eternal servitude, from the power of sin, from the dominion of darkness, from the cruel tyranny of the devil, and a mastery of death and hell. I beseech thee, grant me grace, so that in my present station and calling in which you have placed me on earth, according to your good pleasure, I may not be satisfied nor murmur impatiently against your ordinance, nor yet envy others in their more exalted stations, but help me to do such your will from the heart, with good will, ever thinking that I serve you, O God in heaven, and not men. Help thou, dear Father, that I serve thee, the supreme Lord of heaven and earth, in true knowledge and upright fear. Love you above all things, put all my hope and salvation in you, and continue in your commandments without blame. May I also be subject to my masters and mistresses according to the flesh, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward, and patiently obey them in everything that is not contrary to your pleasure, with fear and singleness of heart as to Christ my Lord, not with eye service as a man-pleaser, but from the depths of my heart and for the sake of your will and commandment. Grant me grace that I may be found faithful in all things committed and entrusted to my care, to not neglect nor bring them to nothing, suffer no harm to come through carelessness on my part, also that I may not covet nor fraudulently appropriate to my own use the possessions of another entrusted to my care. Preserve my health, strengthen my limbs and all the powers of my body. Endow me with wisdom and understanding, that I may perform the labor of my masters and mistresses. With your help, improve their living. May they be blessed through my industry, and all that I do and perform, may it redound to your divine glory and a blessed exercise of my faith. For Christ, your dear Son's sake, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, world without end. Amen. The following is from the book Christian Meditations, A Believer's Companion in Solitude by Thomas Reed, 1841. There is no happiness but in Christ. He is a fountain of living water, the source from where our every blessing flows. Oh, my soul, never look for peace from the creature, nor expect it from yourself. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He has made peace for us through the blood of his cross. He alone by his Spirit can speak peace to the troubled conscience. Through him we have peace with God, and through him we enjoy the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Blessed Savior, shed abroad your love in my heart. Fill me with joy and peace in believing. Wash my heart from wickedness. Allow no vain thoughts to lodge within me. Give me a single eye, a sincere love to you, a supreme regard to all your commandments. Preserve me, O Lord, from every false way, from false views of your gospel, from false motives in my conduct. Enable me, O sin-bearing Savior, to cast the burden of my sins upon you, to confess them over you as the appointed sacrifice for the transgressions of your people, and O bear them away into the land of everlasting forgetfulness. The following reading is from a book called The Saint's Pocketbook of Promises by the Puritan Joseph A. Lane. Hearken therefore, O you children, hearken to me. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the joyful sound, the trump of jubilee, the tidings of peace, and the voice of the everlasting gospel, you fall down before the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever. Arise and come away, prepare, prepare you. Hear not with an uncircumcised ear. You are not upon a common thing. Behold, the throne is set, the throne of grace, where majesty and mercy dwell together. From thence will the Lord meet you, from thence will he commune with you, from the mercy seat, from between the cherubims, upon the ark of the testimony. Lo, the Lord comes out of his pavilion, the mighty God from Zion, Selah. His glory covers the heavens, the earth is full of his praise. A fire of love goes before him, mercy and truth round about him, righteousness and peace are the habitation of his throne. He rides on his horses and chariots of salvation. The covenant of life and peace is in his mouth. Rejoice, you heavens, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Let the sea roar, the floods clap their hands, and the multitudes of the isles rejoice. Stand forth, O host of heaven, prepare your harps, cast down your crowns, be ready with your trumps. Bring forth your golden phials, full of odors. For our voice will jar, our strings will break, we cannot reach the note of our Maker's praise. Yet let them that dwell in the dust arise and sing. Bear your part in this glorious service, but consider and attend. Call out your souls and all that is within you. Lift up your voices, fix your eyes, enlarge your hearts, and tend all their powers, there is work for them all. Be intent and serious, you cannot strain too high. Come forth, you graces, beset the way, be all in readiness, stand forth, faith and hope. Flame, O love, come, you warm desires, and break with longing. Let fear with all veneration do its obeisance. Joy, prepare your songs. Call up all the daughters of music to salute the Lord as he passes by. Let the generation of the saints appear and spread the way with boughs and garments of salvation and songs of deliverance. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, and the stranger that is within your camp, from the hewer of wood to the drawer of water, that you should enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you this day, that he may establish you today for a people to himself, and that he may be to you a God as he has said to you and as he has sworn. I have done my errand. A messenger of the morning disappears when the orient sun comes forth out of his chambers. I vanish, I put my mouth in the dust, the voice of the Lord, a soft and still voice. O my soul, wrap your face in the mantle and bow yourself to the ground and put you into the cleft of the rock, while Jehovah proclaims his name and makes all his goodness to pass before you. The proclamation or the voice of the Lord. Hear, O you winds of the earth, the mighty God, the Lord has spoken. Gather my saints to me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Behold, I establish my covenant between me and you. By my holiness have I sworn that I will be your covenant friend. I lift up my hand to heaven, I swear I live forever, and because I live, you shall live also. I will be yours, yours to all intents and purposes, your refuge and your rest, your patron and your portion, your heritage and your hope, your God and your guide. While I have you, you shall never lack, and what I am to myself, I will be to you. And you shall be my people, a chosen generation, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a peculiar treasure to me above all people. I call heaven and earth to witness this day that I take you for mine forever. My name shall be upon you, and you shall be pillars in the temple of your God, and you shall go no more out. My livery shall you wear, and a stamp of my own face shall you carry. And I will make you my witnesses in the epistles of Christ to the world. And you shall be chosen vessels to bear my name before the sons of men. And that you may see that I am in earnest with you, lo, I make with you an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And do by this solemnly deliver it to you as my act and deed, sealed with sacred blood, and ratified with the oath of a God that cannot lie, that knows no place for repentance. Come, you blessed, receive the instrument of your salvation. Take writing, behold the seals, here are the conveyances of the kingdom. Fear not, the donation is free and full. See, it is written in blood, founded on the all-sufficient merits of your surety, in whom I am well pleased, whose death makes this testament unchangeable forever, so that your names can never be put out, nor your inheritance be alienated, nor your legacies diminished. Nothing may be altered, nothing added, nothing subtracted. No, not forever while you abide in me. The following is a reading from Matthew Henry's Method for Prayer. He says we must pray for the grace of God and all the kind and powerful influences and operations of that grace. We come to the throne of grace that we may obtain not only mercy to pardon, but grace to help in every time of need. Grace for seasonable help. From the fullness that is in Christ Jesus, in whom it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, let every one of us receive in grace for grace. Pray that we may not enter into temptation, or however that no temptation may take us but such as is common to men. And let the faithful God never suffer us to be tempted above what we are able, but with the temptation make way for us to escape. Put upon us the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let your loins be girt about with truth. Put on us the breastplate of righteousness, and let our feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Give us a shield of faith, wherewith we may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation. And let the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, be always ready to us. Enable us so to resist the devil as that he may flee from us, to resist him steadfast in the faith, and to God of peace tread Satan under our feet and do it shortly. From the Rise of Progress of Religion in the Soul by Philip Doddridge, a prayer for the doubting Christian. Lord God, you searcher of all hearts, you who try the reins of the children of men, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Does not conscience, Lord, testify in your presence that my repentance and faith are such as have been described, or at least that it is my earnest prayer that they may be so? Come therefore, O thou blessed Spirit, who art the author of all grace and consolation, and work this temper more fully in my soul, or represent sin to mine eyes in all its most odious colors, that I may feel a mortal and irreconcilable hatred to it, or represent the majesty and mercy of the blessed God in such a manner that my heart may be alarmed, that it may be melted, might the rock, that the waters may flow, waters of genuine, undissembled, and filial repentance. Convince me, O thou blessed Spirit, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Show me that I have undone myself, but that my help is found in God alone, in God through Christ, in whom alone he will extend compassion and help to me. According to your peculiar office, take of Christ and show it to me. Show me his power to save. Show me his willingness to exert that power. I teach my faith to behold him as extended on the cross with open arms, with a pierced, bleeding side, and so telling me in the most forcible language what room there is in his very heart for me. May I know what it is to have my whole heart subdued by love, so subdued as to be crucified with him, to be dead to sin and dead to the world, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. His power and love may I confide. To him may I without any reserve commit my spirit. His image may I bear. His laws may I observe. His service may I pursue. And may I remain through time and eternity a monument of the efficacy of his gospel and a trophy of his victorious grace. O blessed God, if there be anything wanting towards constituting me a sincere Christian, discover it to me and work it in me. Beat down every false and presumptuous hope, how costly soever that building may have been, which it thus laid in ruins, and how proud soever I may have been of its vain ornaments. Let me know the worst of my case, be that knowledge ever so distressing, and if there be any remaining danger, oh, let my heart be fully sensible of it, sensible while yet there is a remedy. If there be any secret sin yet lurking in my soul, which I have not sincerely renounced, discover it to me, and rend it out of my heart. Though it may have shot its roots ever so deep, and have wrapped them all around it, so that every nerve shall be pained by the separation, tear it away, O Lord, by a hand graciously severe. And by degrees, yea, Lord, by speedy advances go on, I beseech you to perfect what is still lacking in my faith. Accomplish in me all the good pleasure of your goodness. Enrich me, O Heavenly Father, with all the graces of your Spirit. Form me to the complete image of your dear Son. And then for his sake, come to me and manifest your gracious presence in my soul till it is ripened for that state of glory for which all these operations are intended to prepare it. Amen.